from KQED.
From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, I'm Michael Krasny. Coming up on this morning's forum program, we open with a discussion about police-involved shootings in the city of Vallejo, which have brought concern and citizen attention and a request for a Department of Justice investigation. Then at 9:30, Santa Cruz has become the first county in the state of California to ban fracking, the form of energy extraction which uses toxic chemicals and massive gallons of water. We'll discuss the Santa Cruz local ban and the spate of local attempts at banning fracking throughout the state, which some argued defy state law. That's all coming up next, after this. From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, I'm Michael Krasny. Good morning and welcome to this morning's forum program. In the past 3 years, 10 people have died in police-involved shootings in the city of Vallejo. In 2012 alone, the rate of officer-involved shootings in Vallejo was 38 times the national rate, prompting a call for the United States Department of Justice to investigate. Now, the city and its police department face a number of civil rights and wrongful death lawsuits, and we talk about this in forum's opening half hour. Joining us here in studio is Alec Emsley. He's a reporter for KQED News who's been following this story. Good morning, Alex.
Hi. Good morning, Michael.
Good to have you. Also good to have Dennis Kenny with us by phone this morning. He's a professor at John Jay College of Criminal Justice, formerly was a police officer in Florida, and formerly was project director for the Police Foundation. Welcome, Dennis Kenny.
Thanks for having me.
Glad to have you. And let me begin by fleshing the story out with you, Alex. The number of shootings, frankly, is irregular for a city that size, and it's also an unusual role for one officer, which is really what we're talking about here.
Well, that's what we found over the course of several months of reporting, looking back at this high number of officer-involved shootings and fatal officer-involved shootings in 2012. And we did find that that rate per 100,000 citizens in Vallejo was about 20 times a similar rate in San Francisco or in Oakland. And Oakland has a much higher crime rate. So it prompted us to look further.
And in looking further, you found one officer's name repeatedly.
We found one officer's name alleged to be involved in three of those fatal incidents in 2012.
Now, this is a community that's been fraught with the history of police violence and, citizens charging police violence and tensions between civilians and police. And I'm just wondering to what extent this has been magnified, because we did get a statement, which I'll read later on, from the city manager who said actually 2012 was a bad year. The number has diminished since then.
And that's true. The number has diminished since then. However, a person who studies these issues extensively that I interviewed for this story wanted to put that in the context of, well, take it as you did, over a three-year span. The rate is still very high.
Don't each of these incidents have to be investigated very carefully, separately? I mean, in other words, we'll talk to the professor about this, but when you see these high numbers, sometimes just comes about so the argument goes because there's a lot of violent crime and fewer officers than are needed.
And I think that that's an important point to make. But one of the main things that we wanted to look into was, since we were going back a couple of years in time, well, how had these incidents been investigated? And initially we got on this story because we were just going to look into one specific incident where the investigation had dragged on for almost a year and a half at that time. Now, that investigation isn't done yet, and so now it's more than a year and a half. And what that means when that investigation has taken that long is that the family members of the person who died still don't have access to the autopsy. They still don't know any kind of, you know, specifics about evidence that was found at the scene. Officers claimed there was a rifle in the person's hands when he was shot. But, the family told me, well, are his fingerprints on that rifle? We don't know.
So where does the DOJ come in here? Because they've been essentially requested to be part of this now too.
Sure, it's fairly common, I think, for when there's a very controversial case of a fatal shooting, for a civil rights attorney representing the family in a complaint against the city and its department to request the Department of Justice to do an investigation into that specific incident. Now, the U.S. Attorney's Office for California's Eastern District was specifically requested by many members of the community and actually the mayor of Vallejo to look into one specific incident that we also covered. That was the shooting of Mario Romero. The U.S. Attorney's Office got back to me and said that they carefully considered this case, but decided that they couldn't go forward with a criminal prosecution. There's another type of investigations that the U.S. Department of Justice, a different section of it, can do. And in recent memory, that happened in Albuquerque, New Mexico. This is when the Civil Rights Division of the U.S. Department of Justice comes in and looks for a pattern or practice of excessive force, violations of federal law, violations of the Constitution. So they're not looking at one specific case for criminality. They're looking at the department as a whole.
But overall, Professor Kenny, let me bring you into this. It's a pretty small percentage of these that are adjudicated by the Department of Justice, these kinds of cases, except in civil rights cases. And we're looking at it as perhaps something that should be more investigated by the Attorney General here in California, Kamala Harris?
Yeah, I would agree with that. The DOJ, the Department of Justice, tends to be fairly judicious in the cases that they take on. There's both a big country and there's a real tradition of law enforcement being locally controlled. And so for the most part, they prefer for it to be locally worked out before they would step in. So I would say this should be something the state and the city and county should be focused on primarily at this point.
How do you read this situation in Vallejo? I mean, from your perspective, both academic and having done police work, I mean, it's a high crime area, budget cuts. I mean, there are lots of reasons that can be given, but most police officers don't, just the statistics, the number, don't even involve themselves over the course of time in shootings.
Yeah, there's several stories here. It is true that very few police, the majority of police for the most part, never discharge their gun other than on the range in the line of duty. And so to have such a high percentage of shootings that are and homicides that are done by police, particularly by a single officer, is an anomaly. You made the statement earlier that each of those should be investigated, and that's true. There may well be justified circumstances for each one. I'm not familiar with the individual shootings, but it certainly does need to be looked at. But you've got other issues here as well. It's not just the decision to shoot or not shoot that matters, but it's also the question of how the police approach such circumstances. Miami-Dade County did some studies quite a few years back where they looked at that question of how you respond, and what they found was in many cases where the shooting was justified, had the police handled the situation differently, it might not have or should not have gotten to that point and therefore could have been avoided. And then, of course, you've also got the point you've raised earlier about follow-up investigations, that it takes a year, two, 3 years to investigate these. There's really not much justification for that other than either bureaucratic bungling or simply being unwilling to want to get the answers.
And they're expensive, these ongoing investigations. Plus, there are a lot of lawsuits here already that seem to be on the horizon. I'm just wondering, Alex Emsley, let me go back to you for a moment. The officer, what do we know about him?
Well, not a ton, but we do know.
And what's his name, by the way?
His name is Officer Sean Kenny. And we know that he was with the
K-E-N-N-E-Y?
K-E-N-N-E-Y.
Same as our guest, Dennis Kenny. No relation, Dennis.
No relation that I'm aware of.
Sure. So it is very difficult to track down sort of the person, any kind of information about the personnel file of a police officer in California. That information is very closely guarded by California law. However, we were able to determine that he transferred to the Vallejo Police Department sometime in the mid-2000s, around 2006, 2007. Prior to that, they confirmed, the Napa City Police Department confirmed that he had worked there for a few years. What is still sort of an open question is he seems to have a very clean record when it comes to any kind of violence or officer-involved shootings or anything like this up until right around the end of 2011. And I don't mean to indicate that he was involved in a shooting in 2011. What I mean to indicate there is that that's when we first start to see excessive force lawsuits with his name.
There are, however, Dennis Kenny, flare-ups of this sort in certain communities. I mean, it's not that in itself is not anomalous.
Well, first, I'd like to go back to a point you made earlier. The investigations themselves are not expensive to do. The police already have investigators, and they can follow up, as do prosecutors. And
I'm sorry, I was thinking of DOJ investigations, but yeah.
For DOJ, it's a bit more problematic, but it's not that big of a deal. The lawsuits, on the other hand, can be very expensive.
Yeah.
And you're absolutely right. I mean, there could be two things. I would look at what happened in 2011. Is there a change in the environment? Is there a change in that officer's assignments and so forth that might have put him in a position where he would be more likely to encounter that? Was there a change in funding of the agency so that they now handle things differently? Or was there life events in that officer's background? Most departments have early warning systems where they're alerted when there's the possibility of an officer having a problem so that they can get in front of it as opposed to behind it. And I have no idea if Vallejo does or not.
Again, Dennis Kenny is professor at John Jay College of Criminal Justice, formerly a police officer in the state of Florida and formerly project director for the Police Foundation. I'm going to invite our listeners to join us. In fact, before I do that, I want to mention to you that Forum contacted the Vallejo Police Department, the Solano County District Attorney's Office, and the Vallejo City Manager to ask to have them join us on the show. A representative from the police chief's office said no one was available to comment. Call the district attorney was not returned, and City Manager Dan Keene declined to come on the show because he says he can't comment on anything because of these pending lawsuits. However, he did provide a written statement, and it's brief, and I'll read it here. Among other questions, we asked him what the city's stance is toward the fatal officer-involved shootings from the past 3 years. And this is his response. I'm quoting, "Injuries and loss of life are circumstances that the Vallejo Police Department staff avoids whenever possible during police enforcement actions. Unfortunately, in 2012, there was a spike in the incidence of officer-involved shootings. Since that year, there has been a steady decline. Although there have been instances where civilians have lost their lives during an enforcement action, such tragic consequences in every case over the last 3 years include behavior by decedents that posed a danger to the public or to the officers, involvement in crime and or use of firearms or other weapons." That's pretty predictable and boilerplate, isn't it, Dennis Kenny?
Pretty much. What he doesn't address is how the city follows up, investigates, and so forth, and apparently that's a problem there.
Let me invite you to join us if you have thoughts. Obviously, people from Vallejo may want to join us, but just in general, talking about these statistics and what they may reveal about what has to be scrutiny over police shootings. Our toll-free number is available to you, and we do welcome your phone calls. You can join us now at 866-733-6786, so feel free to have your voice in the process here of our discussion, in our conversation. It's 866-733-6786. You can also email us, forum@kqed.org, or go to our website and post comments or questions there, kqed.org/forum, and click on this segment or tweet us. Our Twitter handle is @KQED Forum. I think, Alex Emsley, in your report, you were talking about more community concern about this. How do you quantify, or how do you measure community concern?
Sure, and I would like to say that that is an aspect that the city manager has disagreed with me on. And what I can say is that I based, you know, the fact that there is concern in Vallejo about the police department and about these shootings on several interviews that I conducted in Vallejo with people who live there, people on the streets around where some of these shootings occurred, outside, you know, criminal justice observers from outside of town, and then attorneys within the city of Vallejo. And I would also like to point out that in early 2013, ABC7 News did an investigation where they were contacted by a source from within the department, they said, who gave them a video from an officer's body camera and a letter claiming that the department had adopted a cowboy attitude. The video from the officer's body camera shows, a very escalating kind of situation between an officer and a reporting party, somebody who actually called the police for help, that then, you know, became physical. There was officers were leaning on his chest with their knees as they sort of, asked if the officer asked if he should further introduce himself.
Dennis Kenny, from your experience, how frequent is it or how common is it for these kinds of incidents, regardless of culpability? I mean, that all has to be obviously sorted out. But how often do they lead to reform or to more transparency as far as police records?
Well, most agencies don't have serious problems with these sorts of things. And generally, most agencies have fairly transparent review processes so that the public has some assurance that where force is used, that it's used properly. Most research that I'm aware of suggests that the public is aware that the police are in situations where they have to, you know, confront harm, and frequently or occasionally at least uses of force or violence are necessary. The question isn't the ability to use that. The question is how transparent the agency is to make sure that it's done properly. And that appears to be one of the issues here, is that the transparency seems to be missing.
Well, also, in the past, there's been, you know, a lot of concern about just how, well, actually, this is a question that I'll leave up in the air because I want to bring our callers in there, and they may want to respond to this, you know, just how, for lack of a better word, reliable and trustworthy police investigations of their own officers are. But let me go to our callers, and let me begin with Mark from Livermore. Mark, you're on. Hi.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. I just wanted to make a comment that I've seen an escalation in police violence, not just in Vallejo, but in other police agencies in California and beyond. There are videos on YouTube, for example, of an officer in Manteca recently shooting a prone suspect multiple times with the, which caused a community response. Do the guests see a change in the police culture that reflects? And would they see a benefit to something like a standing California grand jury that would apply some community standard for reasonability in terms of police violence? Police are not licensed per se in a general way like lawyers, but one would think that even if DAs are disinclined to pursue criminal charges against police officers that exceed their responsibility or their, you know, overreact, there should be some way to bar a police officer that is found to exceed community standards in such way that they can't just go to another police agency and get a job because the background checks have to be very done with great care so that agencies aren't sued. So if an individual is violent in one jurisdiction, he seems to pop up a couple of years later somewhere else.
Yeah, let me first actually go to Dennis Kenney about escalation of police violence. What do we know on that score statistically?
I mean, there's certainly some folks that appear to believe that. The statistical evidence across the country doesn't suggest that it's really true. I think there's probably better reporting, and we're probably more aware of it, but use of the force by police seem to be fairly consistent. At least official reports of it seem to be fairly consistent.
And Alex Emsley, what about having a standing grand jury? I mean, here in San Francisco, there's a police commission that is doing ongoing investigations. Yeah.
Well, sure. And that you know, as you switch between different jurisdictions, you find a great variability in whether there's you know, a strong kind of civilian review board. As far as statewide, though, I would like to point out that in the initial reporting, and it's not the most recent story that we produced on this, but actually the first one, we really looked at this level of officer-involved shootings and just how are they tracked. And what we found for sure, anyway, is that the California Attorney General's office doesn't track officer-involved fatal incidents at all. They couldn't tell you how many there were in the state of California last year, 5 years ago.
Let me thank the caller and move on to more of your calls. We go to Jane next. Jane, you're on.
Yes, good morning. Thank you for taking my call. I've often wondered why policemen who are armed can't shoot to stop rather than shoot to kill. They're at the firing range all the time perfecting their acuity. I just don't understand. And I don't know anything about guns. And I know crimes happen in a split second, and you don't have time to aim and fire. But it just seems to me that I don't know. You understand my question. Maybe you would discuss it a little bit.
Well, let's hear from Dennis Kenney on this.
That's actually a commonly raised question. The police, for the most part, given the circumstances of the nature of the shooting situations, the belief is that the time and the certainty and the skills required to, as they do on TV, shoot the gun out of the hand are pretty much impossible. It's also the case that the average person isn't necessarily going to go down when shot, and so it's a deadly force situation. So the police are trained only, the only time that they should shoot is to shoot to kill.
Let me go to some of your emails here. John from El Cerrito. Thanks, Jane, for the call, by the way. John from El Cerrito writes, I'd like to hear more about the Vallejo Police Department delaying investigations in order to cover their own wrongdoing. What is the department claiming is the reason for a year-long-plus investigation into a police shooting, and is this a common tactic police use to avoid consequences? Alex Simpson?
Sure. We looked into that some, and what I can say is that it's not just the police department that are involved in these investigations. And so when you get another party involved, there is some complexity as to where the responsibility for finishing it in a reasonable amount of time lies. In Vallejo, as in all cities in that county, they subscribe to a what they call a critical incident protocol, which is through the local district attorney's office. That basically, it dictates that they conduct a co-equal investigation where investigators from the district attorney's office will team up with detectives from the venue police department to do these investigations. And Vallejo police have told me that, at least in some of these longer standing cases, that, you know, their job is done, but the reviews are still pending to be completed by the district attorney's office.
We have District Attorney Don Dubain with us, actually, on the line now from Solano County. And thank you for joining us. I'd like to have your take. Are you looking into this?
Well, first of all, I just joined your program. So can you define what you mean by this?
We're talking about the police shootings in Vallejo and in the past 3 years, and the fact that it's 38 times the national rate, and that there's been a call for the U.S. Department of Justice to investigate, because particularly not only the number of shootings, but one officer was involved in at least three of them.
Yes. Well, first of all, we do investigate every officer-involved fatality and most officer-involved shootings. And we have a protocol to do so. We've had that protocol in place since 1999. We conduct a co-equal investigation with the investigating with the local agency that's involved in the shooting, and where we send out our own investigators to participate in the investigation. And then the reports, the investigative reports that are completed both by the police agency and by my investigators, are submitted to my chief deputy and reviewed and then submitted to me for approval. And we do that in each and every case to determine, you know, not what whether or not the tactics or the policies and procedures of the police departments were followed, because that's not our responsibility. That's the responsibility of the individual agency. But rather whether or not the individual police officer or officers violated the law. And that's our, we do that in every single case. We've done it since I became district attorney in 2011. And actually, the procedures that we follow are very thorough, and we take these cases very seriously.
How concerned are you about the spike in numbers, though?
Well, I think it's a concern to anybody. You know, it's a concern to the police officers who are out in the streets, and it's a concern to the community. Certainly, that there is a has been an increase in the number of officer-involved shootings over the last few years. It's absolutely a concern, and that's why my office takes them so seriously.
It's Don Dubain, who's District Attorney for Solano County. Thank you so much for joining us.
Sure, thank you.
And we thank Dennis Kenny, Professor John Jay College of Criminal Justice, and Alex Emsley, reporter KQED News. Seconds left, Alex, you want a final word here?
Thank you for being on, and thank you for paying attention to, you know, this difficult issue to talk about. And I really appreciate Don Dubain's openness in responding to my public records requests and responding to repeated questions to his office.
And we will continue to follow this, as will Alex. And we'll continue in another vein. We're going to talk about Santa Cruz being the first county in California to ban fracking when we return on Forum. I'm Michael Krasny.